Back to Romans 16. Find my place here. I've been running around like a one-armed paper hanger, man. Just trying to do everything and trying to get things going. Finally got my roof nailed back on yesterday in the morning. I got up about 6:30, got up there, started nailing shingles as rain was coming down. And got it back on, thank God, no leaks. And had to replace some wood and all that stuff. And I messaged the guy. I said, I love this stuff, but I love this stuff more than I love anything. Amen. I love the Word of God. Love being around the Word of God. And I'm looking for something here. That's what I'm looking for. It's always I'm losing something. And forget people's name. I had a guy come up to me at the funeral yesterday, and he shook my hand. He said, Pastor, you preaching here? I said, yeah. He says, I said, who are you? He said, well, I've come to your church for 8 months. I said, really? I don't remember who you are. And he said, well, I came for 8 months. And I said, looked at him a little bit, and I said, yeah, I remember the face. I said, man, you got to talk to me. I said, if you don't talk to me, I don't remember. And I said, my memory's getting shorter and shorter all the time. And so he gave me his phone number. I don't know if anybody here knows him. His name is Jason Miller. Anybody know him? Jason Miller. He got saved here, I guess, and we've had a lot of people get saved here. We want to see them grow and succeed and live for God, but it's just trying to keep up with them is one thing, and we see people saved all the time, and we're going to try to keep up with them. I went to see Brother Bob yesterday. He said, tell everybody hi, and he was glad to see us, and Brother Bob's still going through it, and he broke his hip. Fell down, and now he's down in Milford at the rehab there. And y'all pray for Brother Bob and pray, Lord, help him. I miss Brother Bob being at that door for 20 years. He stood there and miss him. And like this guy, Jason Miller, I want to miss him, but if I don't get to talk to him and I don't get to see him all the time, I forget who they are. So if you are, talk to me. If you're a member of the church, you're part of the church, talk to me. Come meet me and talk to me. And that way I get to know you better. And what a lot of people, right after church, it bothers me to see them just, boom, out the door. And you shouldn't go slinging out the door as fast as you can get out, unless you're under conviction, you don't want to get saved, get right with God, whatever. But you ought to hang around, meet some people. And this is family. This is a family deal here. It should be like a family, and you want to meet people, and some people just like, they say, well, I'm kind of shy, but, you know, I doubt that. I doubt that. You're shy maybe about meeting people, but there's some things that you're not shy about. But you ought to meet your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you ought to talk to them. We were talking about in Revelation or in the book of Romans, we're talking about doctrine, and it's important to know what you believe, why you believe it. And if you don't know what you believe, why you believe it. I appreciate you guys coming up to me this morning and saying, Preacher, I got a question. I've been reading Revelation chapter 5. Another brother, I asked him, I said, what are you reading? He said, Genesis 26. That's good. I like that. I like to hear guys reading their Bible. And that's the only way you're going to grow. That's the way you're going to have victory in your life, is reading your Bible and praying. Ask God to help you be a blessing to somebody. So shake somebody's hand, get to know people, and get to know what they knowing what you believe and be able to share that with somebody else. This week I heard all kinds of crazy things what people believe and different doctrines. And what's some of the doctrines that you've heard that people say they believe that maybe this week that you talk to somebody? Anybody got any special doctrine that they've heard anybody say they believe? Huh? Evolution? What else? Anybody else believe, hear anything? Any crazy doctrine?
Sanctification before salvation.
Sanctification is being set apart. That's what it means. But they think they got to clean up their life first, and then they get saved. They're kind of working into it. You're kind of working. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. What I'm saying is, if you know your Bible, when somebody throws something at you, you can say, well, the Bible says this. Right. I mean, you don't have to slap them in the face with it. You just listen to what they say, and then say, okay. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you listen to somebody, what they tell you, and what they, what they think they're got saved. People think, yeah, what you got? Well, yeah, the Catholic Church teaches when they hold that wafer up, they were showing the priest holding the wafer up, and it's about that big. And then he breaks it up, and he says, "My Lord and my God." So they believe when you take communion, that's your God. That's your salvation. That's part of it, but you really don't know for sure. You take the communion, you get baptized as a baby, you give your money, you go confession, and you go all that stuff, and then he holds this thing up every Sunday, go through the whole thing. Hocus pocus, my Lord and my God, and then everybody comes down. But you notice you don't drink the wine. The priest's the only one who drinks the wine. He's the only one. So that's why in most Catholic hospitals, they have the seventh floor, I think it's the seventh or the sixth floor, they have marked off for the, used to be they used to do that, for the alcoholic priest. They would, always get drunk and stay drunk. So, I told you this, the biggest peddler of wine and liquor and all that is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church owns a lot of the liquor and wine. And you go to these wine distilleries and you go out to California, the wineries and all that, they're all mostly Catholic, or they're selling to the Catholic Church. So, Richard, yes, sir.
If the lay people spit out the Eucharist or spit out Jesus, the priest has to pick up the vomit and eat him.
Yeah, if the Eucharist is blessed and he says, "My Lord, my God," and he blesses it, and then he puts it in your mouth and you spit it out, you get, say you're sick that day and you spit it out, somebody's got to eat it. Somebody's got to get it off the floor. Why? Because it became the body of Jesus. And that's part of your salvation. Somebody else had their hand up? You said that's blasphemy. They don't really believe it. Check it out.
Lose your salvation.
Yeah, losing your salvation. They believe you can lose it. If you could lose it, everybody in this room done lost it this morning on the way to church.
Yeah.
You done lost it. You're probably arguing with your wife, arguing with your husband, yelling at the kids, getting ready, you're thinking some bad things. So, yeah, somebody else had their hand up. Yeah, brother.
It wasn't recent, but I had a guy tell me one time that he basically believed in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
So you should treat the earth like it's your mother, and don't treat animals and stuff like that because you may come back as one of them.
Yeah. They believe in that reincarnation, that you might come back as an animal or a tree or a fly. Carrie had some buzzards on her house this morning, so you can't kill them. I guess. I tell people, man, no, I ain't gonna say that. All right, Romans 16:17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. And we're talking about doctrine. It said, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words, fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would not have you wise unto that which is I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." And it says, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." We know that we win the battle. Amen. We know that Jesus Christ is going to come back in Revelation chapter 19. We win the battle. And Satan's going to bow down, according to Isaiah. He's going to bow down in front of God, and he's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it says, "Satan shall under your feet, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Now, I want to go through this. One of the doctrines that we believe is the blood atonement. The blood atonement. Now, it goes back to Exodus chapter 12. You go back to Exodus chapter 12. Look at this. Exodus chapter 12, blood was, animal blood was for atonement. And in the Old Testament, animal blood, what animal's blood did was postpone judgment. And this animal's blood here protected the nation of Israel from being the firstborn being killed. And look at what God tells Moses. And all the way in the book of Genesis, they sacrificed animals as well. Blood sacrifice. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all sacrificed, and the shedding of blood. And when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill a lamb In the Garden of Eden, God killed lambs and covered them with a lamb's skin, and the blood was shed. So, and the Lord spake, verse chapter 12 of Exodus and verse 1, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Now I want you to notice, it'll say a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. It'll say that. And it's showing you what's going to come, because one day the promise was given in Genesis chapter 3 that God was going to pay your sin debt completely. And that's what he did. That's why we're talking about the blood. And it says, speak on the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house, a lamb for the house. That, then the Bible says over in Acts chapter 16, it says, thou shalt be saved in thy house. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. You pray over your house. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for them that lamb's big enough to sacrifice, will sacrifice for the whole household. And it says, a lamb for the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next on his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your account for the lamb. It says, the lamb. Note the lamb. Your lamb. Notice, and now it's personal. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Notice that. You see the typology in the New Testament where Jesus Christ is killed, or actually he was crucified. He laid down his life. But it says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that day, in that night, and roast with fire the unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And for not eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire. Jesus Christ said, I thirst. And he felt hellfire, man, on that cross. He was suffering the pain of hellfire. And it says, you say, how do you know that? Psalms 22. Psalms 22, we'll look at that in a minute. And it says, his head with his legs, with the purulence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn it with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And look on down, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house which where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. It says, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. And so on. 7 days. And so you go to New Testament, you find Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But see, this blood here was for them not to let the firstborn die. And then the blood sacrifice they had to have in the temple and the tabernacle, they had blood sacrifice. Every family had to take a lamb once a year. You say, what happens if you didn't take a lamb once a year? Then your sins were not atoned for. And they weren't atoned for. So, and that was a year by year by year by year by year. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, it says even the animals, it says that they're rejoicing. They'll rejoice over the redemption of the sons of God. The animal sacrifices. So go to Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1. We believe the blood is the atonement. And it only has to happen one time. But see, when God saved you, he put the blood on you, and you've been washed in the blood. We sing that song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. So then, Ananias, the priest, said it shouldn't be that one man should die for all the nation. Jesus Christ was, but Jesus Christ died for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the blood atonement is the most important doctrine, and one of the most important doctrines that we believe. And there's a guy in California named Sumner. His name is Sumner, and he said the blood of Jesus Christ has no eternal effects on any Christian. He's crazy. He said the blood of Jesus Christ, the atonement, has no eternal effects on any Christian. I've been washed in the blood. When the devil sees you and I, when he comes by, he knows that you've been saved. How does he know? Because you've been washed in the blood. The Bible says, though your sins were as Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Somebody quote that to me. Isaiah 1, 18. Well, I'll read it to you. We'll read it. I'm going to hold your place right there. Isaiah 1, 18. It says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They shall be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the Lord is saying the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins were as scarlet, but they will be white as snow. How do they get white as snow? By the blood atonement. And we've been washed in the blood. So when the devil sees you and I, he sees that we've been washed in the blood. There's a difference. When a child of God walks about, there's a difference. And if they've been redeemed, they've been saved, they've been washed in the blood. Look what the Bible says, Colossians chapter 1, 14. So all the new Bibles, what they've done, there's 200 some new Bibles, English Bibles on the market. What they've done is try to get rid of anything that has to do with the deity of Jesus Christ or the blood atonement or the second coming of Jesus Christ, or anything, any important doctrine. And that's why I say it's important to know your Bible and know doctrine. So all the new Bibles come along and they'll take the blood out. And they don't believe that the devil knows that the most powerful thing is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we sing those songs. When you sing about the blood of Jesus Christ, you talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, the devil can't handle it. He just can't handle that. You can have all the crosses in the world and walk around with crosses and all that stuff, and the cross is not going to run the devil away. What runs the devil away when you start singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing in all the universe. And when Jesus Christ shed his blood, it covered the universe. So I've talked to people and I've told this story about, I mentioned the blood of Jesus Christ and the guy's eyes rolled back of his head. And I mentioned the blood of Jesus Christ, and the guy froze. I mentioned the blood of Jesus. Billy Anderson down in Washington, D.C., walked by a guy, and there's all kinds of people full of devils and unclean spirits. He walked by a guy to give a guy a tract, and he said, hey, man, are you washed in the blood of Jesus? And the guy went crazy, stripped his clothes off, ran down the street screaming. And two D.C. cops tackled him, put him in the paddy wagon, and took him away. And Billy stood there with a tract in his hand like, what in the world? Jamie had Jehovah's Witnesses come to her door, and she mentioned the blood of Jesus Christ, and one of Jehovah's Witnesses' eyes rolled in the back of their head. She called me up later, and she tried it again to see what happened, and Tyler saw it. And she called me up later, she said, it really is powerful. You mentioned the blood of Jesus Christ. The devils and unclean spirits can't handle it. They can't handle it. And when you feel afraid, when you feel like you're all alone and feel like something around you, you start singing about the blood. They'll leave, man. I'm telling you. It works. The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. The most powerful thing. What can wash away my sin? Ain't nothing in this world can wash away my sin. All the baptism, I can be baptized like the Mormons teach. You can be baptized for the dead and all that crazy stuff, which is a lie. It cannot wash away your sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look at Colossians 1:14. It says, verse 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Notice, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. All the new Bibles, every one of them, takes through his blood out. They take it out. You have to go through the blood. And when you got saved, when the day you got saved, the Bible talks about a baptism. It's a spiritual baptism. When you got saved and washed in the blood. The baptism is a spiritual baptism, washed in the blood. Now, baptism here is a type. It's a type. That baptismal pool can't wash away nobody's sin. But when you ask Jesus Christ as Savior, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In whom we have redemption. What we believe is the blood atonement. It started in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden. It came up to Moses, and when they come out leaving Egypt, and God says, a lamb, the lamb, and then your lamb. And then when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It wasn't his death only. It was the blood. The blood he shed. See, that guy in Sumner says only the death of Jesus Christ is what took away our sin. No, it was the blood. You see crucifixes all the time. Jesus, or churches there. That's why you don't see none in here. Churches all over the place got these crucifixes. Jesus hanging on the cross. They're still hanging on the cross. They think the death of him is what saved them. No, it's his blood that he. And then he said, no man taketh my life. I lay it down, but I have power to rise it up again. And he rose from the grave. And we're victorious because of that. We believe in the blood atonement. Go to John chapter 1. Go to John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Thank God for the blood. I love singing about the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1. John, 1 John chapter 1. And look at we'll go down to verse 7, but it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now as a Christian, you have fellowship with the Father and the Son. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the what? Blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, it says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You say, is that getting saved over and over again? You only get saved one time. But this is for fellowship. Notice we read fellowship. So every day I pray, and sometimes more than one time a day, God cleanse me, wash me. It's not that I have to get saved over and over again. No, my soul's saved. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. But my flesh, the sins I commit in my flesh, my thought life, man, my thought life, your thought life, we got 10,000 thoughts go through our head every day. Our thought life, man, we get wild, crazy things going through your head. All kinds of crazy stuff. And the devil's right there to say, kill yourself. Kill yourself. You ain't no good. You ain't gonna never be nothing. You're God's child. And you can be something for him, if you fellowship with him, and your fellowship is with the Father and the Son, and you've been washed in the blood. That boy, I just preached his funeral, 27 years old, took a gun, shot himself. killed himself, 27 years old. You say, man, what? That was a selfish act. It's feeling sorry for yourself. You sit around and feel sorry for yourself, I'll tell you what, that's what the devil will do to you. You'll go in depression. You look at your life, you think, man, my life is nothing. I tell people, like I told this brother this morning, I said, get right with God. Just get right with him. Walk with him. Fellowship with him. You'll have peace. You'll have joy. You'll have comfort. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You'll have those things. And man, when I start feeling sorry for myself, I'm riding down the road and the devil start working on me, I'll say, shut up. I'll talk to myself. I'll say, shut up, you idiot. Then really, you say, you talk about, yeah, I talk to myself. I say, shut up, idiot. You don't know what you're talking about, you idiot. You've been blessed. And I mean, I ball myself out sometimes. You ever tell yourself off? You ever look in the mirror and say, you idiot, you stupid idiot, what's the matter with you? Pat, pat, pat. I slap myself. And said, what's the matter with you, man? God's blessed you. God's used you. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're busy serving the Lord, you ain't got time to think about yourself. You sit around and watch movies. You think, watch these love movies and all that junk. You think, well, that's the way it is. Like I said yesterday at the funeral, I said, most people watch movies and they think that's the way it is. Everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. You know, it's like, you know, touched by an angel. You're going to get rich. You're going to have a new car. You're going to have a, no, it ain't the way it is all the time. And God will bless you. And I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. And we don't believe that. Now look on down. It says if we confess our sins. A lot of people say, oh, 1 John shouldn't be in the Bible. 1 John. Oh, you shouldn't even worry about 1 John. 1 John's a great chapter in the Bible, a great book of the Bible. And it's got tribulation overtones and all that. But I'll tell you what, the 1 John is great. I thank God for 1 John's in the Bible. Amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. How many?
All.
All unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Thank God for the blood. Need to memorize verses on the blood. Look at, now I want to show you something. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Just to kind of put a nail in the coffin. Just so you'll see this. You need to mark these in your Bible now. Mark them down. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day. I am pure from the blood of all men. That's Paul the Apostle writing down. He says, I've told everybody the truth. It cost him dearly. See, telling people the truth, the fear of man bringeth the snare. You worry about what people think about you. You worry about how cool you are or how, you know, popular you are and all that stuff. That ain't going to make a hill of beans when you stand before God.
Amen.
And when I got saved, I was pretty bold before I was saved. I was pretty bold about everything. Everything I did. And I wasn't even ashamed of it. I bragged about it. Stuff that I did. And I got saved, and the Lord said, why don't you use that for me? And what happens is, when you get saved, the devil tries to turn you into a wimp so you won't stand for God. And what happens is the devil come along and say, oh, you better not say that. You might be getting into something here. And I made up my mind, if I was that bold for the devil, and Paul was bolder than any man ever lived, this guy was unashamed and bold. He would stand up. And what happens is you fear what people think. Well, they might not think good of me. You know, I tell people everywhere, I preach all over the place, and I say, I don't care if you like me or not. I done made up my mind. I don't care if people like me or not. It makes no difference to me. I want you to like me. I hope you like me. But I said, it makes no difference. I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help me God. If you get that mindset, because I care about your soul more than you, you might hate me. I preach funerals. Yesterday I had people walk out. One guy walked by and wouldn't even shake my hand. And so does that bother you? A little bit, but. As long as I'm doing what God wants me to do. He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock, talking about preachers now, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseer. You know what I am? I'm an overseer. I'm not a dictator. I'm not an apostle, like a lot of preachers claim. They make you think they're over everybody and they're holier than all that. Now, I believe this: a preacher ought to have a good testimony, ought to be above reproach. It says, take therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock with which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his what? You mark that in your Bible. You were purchased, and it costs God everything. You know what I've been washed in? The blood of God. And if you're saved, you've been washed in the blood. And the devil hates that fact. And that's why you have problems. That's why the devil comes after you to try to destroy you. Why? Because he knows who you are. He knows exactly who you are. He knows if you're a child of God. He knows if you're born into a Christian home. He knows it all. And if you're trying to stand for God, there's going to be opposition. Yesterday, this funeral, I didn't want to go to this funeral. I didn't want to go preach it. I said, Lord, I know somebody's going to get mad. I go there, first thing I do, I get to lead a girl to the Lord, which was a crack addict. What a blessing. She crying, asking God to forgive her. I said, have you ever asked the Lord to save you before? She said, no. No. What a blessing, man. Amen. You just be obedient to God. Here comes rollover. Esther. She's laughing. I can see it. All right. We go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1:18. Thank God she's all right. I was telling Mark yesterday, he said they're giving her an MRI on her head. And I said, well, they won't find anything. I was teasing her. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1:18. Look at this. It says this, back up to verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Talking about fear the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, understanding. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions of your fathers, but with what? Everybody say it together. With what? Precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were redeemed. You're a paid possession. You're bought with a price. You belong to the Father. You belong to the Trinity. I belong to the Trinity. So do you, if you're saved. You're not your own. That's why the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, we're going to stop with this. Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Our problem is right here. Your problem, all your problems are right there. And the biggest battle you have is right there. And if you pray, Father, I need help. I'm thinking wrong, Lord. I'm thinking wrong. I need your help. And the Lord say, get in the book. Get your mind in the book. Get your heart right. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The devil tried to get your mind all whacked out. All right, let's start with that. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your truth. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Wash us in the blood now, Lord. Cleanse us. May we have a service to lift you up and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all get some help in that? Amen.